We are beginning today a series that's going to take us 3 weeks entitled All Glory. Now, as I mentioned earlier, in the time of our prayer, God didn't hold anything back, but God gave of his very best. And so as God gave his best in Christ, he's asking us to do nothing less. And this series is going to be coming to us for these 3 weeks out of a benediction in Jude. And I just want you to read it with me as it comes up here on the screen, please. Jude chapter 25 says this. Can we read it together? All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. And we're going to read in a moment out of Exodus 33. If you have the NLT with you, you can turn there. If not, just turn to page 71, please, in the blue pew Bible, and we're going to read that text in concert. So let's stand as we read from Exodus chapter 33, please. Exodus 33. And once you find that, you can stand with me, and we're going to read it out loud together. Exodus 33, beginning at verse 7. Let's read it together. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. One day, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name." Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." Now, I wouldn't want to compare myself with Moses, I have to tell you the truth. And yet, this is exactly what the Bible is going to call us to do today, as we talk about bringing God all glory with our lives. Now, there's a hymn that I know that many of you know. It's a very familiar hymn, and I'd like us just to sing it together this morning, just the chorus part. It's "All to Jesus, I surrender, all to him I freely give." And I want you to notice that "all," because here's what the truth is about us serving the Lord. For those of us that have come into a relationship with Jesus, it happened at a certain time and place. Maybe you were 6 years old at the foot of the bed with your dad or your mom. For me, I was 18 years old. But the thing about giving our lives to Christ is it's a one-time thing where we're born again and the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. But then it's a continual surrender. It's a continual giving up. It's a continual deepening of our expression and our experience in Jesus. And so I'd like us, just before we go into the text this morning, just to make this our prayer. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Heavenly Father, as we go into this series on all, I pray today that You would teach us just a little bit more about what it means for us individually to glorify Jesus. And everybody said together, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You can follow along on your insert. First of all, bringing God glory takes practice. It takes practice. I remember when I was a kid, about 11 or 12 years old, that my mom would make me every day of my life sit down after school at the piano, and as I was studying from the Royal Conservatory, she would make me practice the piano for 30 minutes. Now, how many of you know that as a kid, 11, 12, 13 years of age, when your friends are outside, when your friends are calling you on the telephone, I mean, if you had the choice to practice the piano for 30 minutes or go out and be with your friends, how many of you know what is the most important thing to do? Be with your friends, exactly. But I'm so glad that my mom encouraged me to take that time to practice. You know, because if she didn't encourage me to take that time to practice, I could have never done anything at all on this beautiful instrument, and I could have never done like anything like this. Would you sing? You alone are my strength, my shield. To You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. Now, fortunately, I don't have to do that much here because Pastor Jason has practiced much more than me. But sometimes when I'm all by myself, I'll just sit down at the piano, and I love that ability. But here's the deal. Bringing God's glory takes practice. It takes practice. And I want you to think about your life, and I do want you this morning to compare it to Moses, because that's what the Bible does. It was Moses' practice, everybody please say practice. You could circle that in your notes, to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Now, you know what's one of the reasons that Moses did that? Because if Moses would have had the tent of meeting set up in the camp, when he got up, somebody said, hey, Moses, I have this situation. Moses, I have this question. Moses, we're going through this thing. Moses would have never had a moment to do what he needed to do. He would have never been able to practice God's glory. And so Moses, look at now, he made it his practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance outside of the camp. You know, if you're going to reflect God's glory, if you're going to make a practice of that and have a deepening relationship in your life, you're going to have to get away. You're going to have to make a regular practice of getting outside of the normal demands of your life, the normal things that hit your life every moment of every day. Solitude allows for the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, how many of you know what these glasses are? Virtual, what do they call them? Virtual. And I mean, with these glasses, you can be anywhere. You can be in a great big trade show, and all of a sudden you put on these glasses, and I'm at the Grand Canyon. I'm flying a kite over the Grand Canyon. I mean, you can be going down a roller coaster. Do you know what I feel? I feel for those of us who live in this information age. Because not only do we have virtual reality, which is no reality at all, but we have the cell. There was a time when we only had the beeper. I don't know if you, some of you youth, you don't remember this, but it was just a little thing that went beep. And it just went beep, and then the phone number came up. And you didn't even necessarily have a cell phone, so you wouldn't get back, beep, there's the phone number. And so sometimes, but now, I mean, there's probably some people here and you're texting to somebody, you should be listening to this message instead. I know that's true, because I was sitting in a church one day and I was sitting beside somebody who was about 43 years old, right behind them, and they had their dumb phone, I'm sorry, smartphone on in church. And the pastor was preaching, and he was preaching a good word, but I was seeing this guy, and he was looking at the pastor, and all of a sudden, ding, and he'd respond, ding, and listen, there needs to be a time for us to come apart if we really want to reflect the glory of God. If you want to know the all that God has for you, you've got to come apart. You've got to come apart from those things that demand time from your life. I mean, Jesus did it. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up, and he went out to an isolated place to pray. Now the setting of that, the context of that, was Jesus was at Peter's mother-in-law's house, and he had healed her, and he had ministered that night to a whole bunch of people. And so very early, Jesus left. He went out to this isolated place, and the whole town came. The whole town came there. The disciples didn't know where he was. They looked all through the house. They went searching. Finally, they found him. And when the disciples found him, they said, Jesus, everybody's looking for you. Hey, did you ever feel like that mom with three kids? Everyone's looking for you. Did you ever feel like that dad in your business? Everybody's looking for you. Solitude allows for the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, it was interesting. Even though everybody was there at the house, do you know what Jesus said? We've got to go somewhere else. We got to go somewhere else, because solitude allows for the working of the Spirit in your life. Solitude aligns our senses with what matters the most. Listen, we need to take time. Friends, Christians, we have to take time. We have to make it our practice to take time. But look at Jesus. He often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He often did that. And so I know that if you're in Christ today, I know that you have a loving relationship with your Father. But God wants, did you hear it this morning? He wants to give you more. He wants us to give him all glory. And solitude aligns our senses. It helps us understand what we're going to say yes to. And you know what? What we're going to say no to. It helps us understand what we're going to say, I'm sorry, I can't be there. I got to tell you, and I'm sure my life is no different than yours. If I responded to every phone call, every invitation, every place that I was asked to go, I wouldn't even sleep. But solitude allows you to align your senses with what matters the most. And solitude aspires to prioritize God's secret place. Does anybody know who this man is? Yeah, he's in heaven, Billy Graham. He's in heaven now. Led, God knows, how many hundreds of thousands of people to Jesus. I hope when I get to heaven by the grace of God that I get to visit Billy Graham's neighborhood. I don't know if I will, but I really hope I do someday. He's going to be in a really great neighborhood up there. One day there was a newscaster that was asking Billy Graham about all of the global success that his ministry had had, and all of the hundreds of thousands or millions of people that the Billy Graham ministry, and you know, this kind of newscaster framed up the question in such a way that Billy Graham could just preach it. He could just, and she said, Billy, what's the secret to your success? And he looked right in the camera and he said, I need to pray more. No, what's the secret of your... I need to pray more. Solitude aspires to prioritize God's secret place. What is it about preachers and even people that makes them more noticeable? What is it about lives that live for Christ that makes them more memorable? I'll tell you what, solitude aspires to prioritize God's secret place. In prison, if you're a bad prisoner, you know what they do? They lock you up. I mean, you're already locked up, right? But if you're a bad boy or a bad girl in prison, they lock you up in what's called solitary confinement. But with God, it's not solitary confinement, it's solitary refinement. Because even young people get tired. The Bible says that. Even youths get tired and weary. And those who are older, they get tired and they get weary. But you know what? Those who trust in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. I've noticed this. Eagles don't flap very much, do they? They just soar. And when they soar, they get a different perspective. And they feel the wind of God underneath their wings. And so they will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run. Everybody say, run. Listen, if you're saying, I don't know if I can go on, you need to practice. You need to practice some of this solitude. It takes practice to bring glory to God. Secondly, bringing God's glory tunes perception. Is there anybody who's ever been to the symphony? Anybody ever been to the symphony? Every once in a while, I love going to the symphony. Every time I get an opportunity, it's such a great blessing. But something happens that's very important at the beginning, just prior to the concert. The principal violinist, usually, will stand up in the symphony orchestra, and the principal violinist will tune the symphony. It will make sure that the wind instruments and the stringed instruments and the flutes and the, you know, all of the brass that's there and everything, the cellos and the oboes, everything. It'll make sure, you kind of hear, it sounds really weird, right, at the beginning. You know what I'm talking about if you've been to the symphony. But if that principal violinist didn't stand up and tune that orchestra, I guarantee you, no matter how skilled those players were, you would not want to be in that concert hall with an orchestra playing all the right notes out of tune. Bringing God glory tunes our perception. As he went, Moses, into the tent, you know, as you make time to get apart, to come apart so you don't come apart, as he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down. You remember in the Old Testament at this time, as God had called Moses to lead his people, that in the day, a pillar of cloud led them, and at night, a fire led them. You remember that? Well, that's referring to the leading of God, the leading of the Spirit. A pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And the Bible talks about Moses in this way. God said, I speak to Moses face to face. Bringing God's glory tunes perception. When you make time for God, do you know what happens? It's here in this time that we learn to follow his leadership. It's in that time that we learn to follow his leadership, the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says this, for all who are led, everybody please say led, by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now, it's in that kind of place where we're coming apart, where we're hearing, that we learn to hear his voice. I've never heard his voice audibly, but I hear his voice all the time. You know where I hear his voice? In God's word, light shines on our daily circumstances. In God's word, as we take time to make time for the word of God, what happens is we just begin to see better. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. And so every time that you take time and make time to come into the Word of God, you're going to learn to hear his voice. You're going to learn to follow the lead of the Spirit in your life. And as you do that, and the more that you do this, your perception is going to become sharper and sharper, and the counsel of God will actually become your heart's longing. David, the psalmist, prayed it this way. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, would you please say all day long? Underline that in your notes. All day long. I put my hope in you. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I'm so glad that you took time to invest, to be here with the people of God, singing the praises of God and hearing the word of God and being encouraged. But this is not enough. Christian, it's an all day long. All day long I put my hope in you. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves continually as Christians, because it was 40 years ago when I committed my life to Christ. So the question I have to ask myself if I want to bring God all glory is this: are you led by the Spirit? As I walk through life every day, this is what's going to happen. And I like this graphic because I'm looking at this road to the left and to the right, and you can see that it comes to a precipice, but what you can't see is what's on the other side of that precipice. You can't tell at this point if you go left, is that the right way to go, or if you go to right, is that the right way to go? And there are times like this that happen to us all day long, all week long, all month long, all year long in our lives as Christians. And so this is the question I want to ask you, because God wants to give you everything. God wants you to bring him all glory. Are you led by the Spirit? In your day-to-day doings, are you allowing him to show you to go to the left? Don't go to the right, because the left is my good and pleasing and perfect will for you right now. Are you led by the Spirit? So it takes practice bringing God glory. It tunes your perception. Thirdly, bringing God glory touches you personally. The very more that you bring God glory, the very more that you'll be touched personally by him. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine with you. So as you endeavor by the grace of God to bring him glory, you'll be touched personally. On the cross, Jesus Christ shouted when he gave up his spirit, it is finished. And when he shouted this, the partition that separated us from God was torn from top to bottom. In Jesus, the partition to God has been removed. He shouted it out again, and he released his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That word partition means the act of parting, the act of dividing. It means separating. It means division. It means to be separated. And even in the Old Testament, it was only the prophets who led God's people. It was only the prophets who heard from God, kind of the Holy Spirit would come on them from the outside, and they would deliver the message of God. Or even with Moses, it was Moses who led the people. He's the one that went into the tent. Those people that were called of God to lead, they did it for a certain time and place. But now in the New Testament, the partition has been broken. The way to God has been made clear. And we can come into the presence of God, all of us. It's not just now the priests, but like it's not like you come to the pastor to go to God, thank God. No, you go yourself. You go through Jesus. You go through the Lord Jesus, and the partition has been made possible from God when Jesus died. And so you can come into his presence at any time. Anywhere, at any time, you can come into the holy place. And God's never busy. He's never gonna look at the caller ID to see who's calling. God has the capacity to talk to everybody in the world all at once because he's God. And you can come to him anywhere and at any time. So let us come boldly then to the throne of our gracious God. Why? Because there we will receive his mercy, and we're going to find grace to help us when we need it the most. And I want to tell you what Jesus Christ has promised for you, Christian. He has given you his promise of peace now and always. Now and forever. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world can't give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I don't know if any of you at nighttime, when you're supposed to go to sleep, if you've ever had this experience. It doesn't happen to me very often. I don't know if you've ever, at bedtime, laid your head down on the pillow. And as you lay your head down on the pillow, there's four or five thoughts just racing through your mind. I mean, there's just stuff you're worrying about. There's stuff you're thinking about. There's stuff, you roll over, you try to change your position, you bounce up and down. I mean, it's just that those thoughts are going. Does that ever happen to anybody? Doesn't happen to me often. But I want to tell you what I do when that does happen. Before I do, I want to just take a little survey. Is there anybody here that has to breathe to stay alive? Okay, good. Just check. So this is what I do. Every time I breathe, I don't say it out loud. I just say it in my spirit. Jesus. Let's try that together. Ready? Jesus. In my spirit. So I don't count sheep. I count on God. And here's what happens to me. It's not too many breaths when I'm going. When you know what happens, you know what Jesus said? He's giving me a gift. A gift. Peace of heart and peace of what? Say it. Mind. Having peace of mind is a gift that Jesus brings, but you need to kind of rise up and allow that gift to take hold of you, especially in the time of trial. Fourthly, bringing God glory trusts his presence. It's interesting that God said, to Moses, Moses, I'm going to be with you. Moses, I'm pleased with you. Moses, I'm happy with you. And you know what? Moses, with you, everything is going to be A-okay. And I love what Moses did because, you know, the context of the scripture that we just read, it was when Moses was up on the mountain and Moses had led the people and Moses was getting the Ten Commandments from God and he got them. Like God wrote on these two tablets the Ten Commandments with God with his very finger. And as Moses was coming down the mountain, he heard not the sound of victory, but he heard a strange sound. And you know what happened if you're familiar with the story. Aaron and Miriam, the people said, where's Moses? I mean, he was up there for not too long. Like, there's times we have to trust God. And so he was up there on the mountain, and they said, gather the jewelry. We need to make us an idol. And they were all dancing around the golden calf. And I mean, there were times when God said, I want to wipe these people out because they're bad. And you know what Moses said? He said, no, it's God. They're your people, Lord. You called me to lead your people. And I love what Moses says. Bringing God glory trusts in his presence. And when you are being filled with the presence of God, can I tell you something? Your life gets way bigger than you. Somebody said this. Somebody who's wrapped up all in themselves is a really small package. But when you're in the presence of God, your life is way bigger than you. How will anyone know that you look favorable on me? There's the Moses part. Oh, and God, on me and your people, if you don't go with us. Oh, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to leave this place. For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. Christian, can I tell you what sets you apart? It's not where you live. It's not where you went to school. It's not the job that you hold. It's the presence of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. It's the presence of God that sets you apart. Your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. And so bringing God glory trusts his presence. And the truth is this, when you think of the cross, Jesus calls forth a response from our lives. When you think of the fact that Jesus paid it all, the hymn writer said, all to him I owe. So Moses responded. And this is interesting. This is the same Moses that God said, I speak to face to face. This is the same Moses that was on the mountain and received the Ten Commandments. This is the same Moses that whenever he went into that tent, that God would talk to him and the cloud would be in front of the tent. And after all of that, Moses says this, God, show me your glorious presence. Christian, I know that you've seen the Lord. I know you have. I know that you hear from God. I know you do. I know that you've prayed and he's answered prayer. I know that's happened for you. But as we're talking about bringing God all, please say all glory. God's looking for this same response in our lives. Where whatever it is that we've seen from God, I mean Moses had seen a lot, that we say, God, show me your glorious presence. Jesus is calling forth a response of all that we are and all that we have. And here's the thing that I can't figure out and challenges me. Our response is to be even more resplendent than that of Moses. Because the Holy Spirit's living in us. Look at what it says here in Corinthians. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? And that convicts me. that God's saying to me, and to you, it's because it's not me, it's we. Shouldn't we expect a far greater glory? I mean, we read of Moses and we go, wow. And God's saying, you should have greater glory because of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's to be even more resplendent than that of Moses. And the truth in these last days is this. The world is going to get darker and darker. That's true. It's going to get darker and darker. But we are to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. And here's what I know. The darker the world gets, the brighter the life of Jesus Christ is going to shine in and through you and through his church. We're going to sing that chorus once again, I surrender all. I surrender all in just a minute. And I want you just to make that your prayer as we close off this morning message. It says this, so all of us who've had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, I thank you today for the gift of God that is ours in Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you have actually blessed us, not with a little bit, but you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You held nothing back, Lord. So as we begin this series on all, God, I pray that you'd again move in our heart, that we would desire, whatever that means, to give you all glory. It's going to require practicing your presence, Lord. As we practice your presence, our perception is going to be tuned up a whole lot better. God, and as our perception is tuned up, even as an orchestra plays beautifully, it's going to affect our lives personally. Your presence is going to grow in us more and more and more. And God, we're going to trust in your presence. Would you stand with me? Would you make this your prayer as we close off this morning message? Just before we sing, I want to remind you of a couple of things. Ladies, you can pick up your tickets for the ladies' banquet. Those of us who are in the newcomer's luncheon, you're going to the third floor. And tonight, we're continuing in our Why series. And Pastor Carson is preaching tonight on why I encourage. If you need encouragement or need to know how to better encourage others, it would be a great thing. Next week, I'm preaching on why I speak in tongues, and we're going to have a water baptismal service. I pray that today, that God will help us all to bring him more glory. Now, the Bible says, I would that men would everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and disputing. You know, if somebody pointed a gun at you, you'd say, I surrender. You know what? God's not pointing a gun at us. God gave Christ for us. But if you feel comfy, would you just lift up your hands this morning? And would you make it your prayer? All to Jesus.